Book of Acts, chapter 15. Let's start from verse 1.
And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, he determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
Okay, we'll stop here. Now see what the Word of God is saying. Last week we learned Paul and Barnabas had a lot of problems, but they were just praising God, coming back to Antioch and having a good time in the Lord. And now what happened here, their headquarters is in Jerusalem. Now from the headquarters, some of the people came to Antioch. See how the devil works. These people, they are in Jerusalem and coming to Antioch. Why are they coming? The verse 1, he says, certain men, not one, but I don't know, a couple of them might be, certain men which came down from Judea, is from Jerusalem, and taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Can you imagine the believers coming to Antioch? And Antioch church is growing. Antioch church is on fire. Antioch church is spreading the gospel, doing great things. But the some people wanted to disrupt or destroy the work of God. And what they're coming and telling, they're saying, you know, if you are not circumcised, you cannot get saved. The people were coming and getting saved, and so many Gentiles got saved. So the devil start working in the church. They came and start saying, listen, if you cannot circumcise these people, that means they are not saved, they are not born again. So what they are trying to say, Christianity only for Jewish people, not for Gentiles. And that was the problem they had. And they came and they start arguing with whom? Paul and Barnabas, verse 2. And Paul and Barnabas had a lot of problem. They didn't know what to do. Let's read the verse 2.
When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question.
Now who is saying this? This couple of people, troublemaker, came to church and start saying to Paul and Barnabas, why you, Paul and Barnabas, not telling these Gentiles to be circumcised? If they don't circumcise, they should not be believers. And Paul and Barnabas tried to explain to these people, but they said, no, we are not going to listen to you. So what you should do, go to headquarters. Where you go? Go to Jerusalem. And find out if the Peter is saying the same thing, if the James saying the same thing, if the other apostles saying the same thing, and then you come back and tell us. And I was thinking why this happened and who was doing this trouble. When you came to the verse 5, you know that who was behind this. Because when Paul and Barnabas start thinking, how we can handle this now? These people are coming, and what they're saying, the verse 1, he says, they came and start teaching the brethren. Means they did not come quietly, they came to poison the other believers. They start saying, do you know these Gentiles are here? And they're supposed to be circumcised and start telling every believer. And so there was like some of the Jewish believers start thinking, oh, these people came from Jerusalem. they're coming from the headquarter, they might be right. And these people start having this problem. So what they start saying, let's read verse 3. They said these people should go back to Jerusalem and find out what is the truth.
And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren.
Now, when these people said, go to Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas would have gone straight to Jerusalem and find out what's going on. But they said, no, our job is the preaching the gospel. So they went city to city while they're going to Jerusalem and spread the gospel. And many Gentiles got saved. Many people came to the Lord. Many miracles happened. And so the disciples, means Paul and Barnabas, they were happy and they went back to Jerusalem. When they go back to Jerusalem, let's read verse 4.
And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them.
Okay, now they came with the joy. They know what's happening. They know what other people are going to say. They know what the trouble is. And they came here to explain what's happening in Antioch. Why people came from Jerusalem to make trouble in Antioch. But they didn't say anything. They said, let me tell you what God is doing. God is doing signs and wonders and miracles. And that's what they were explaining. And Peter and James and those people were happy to have Paul and Barnabas coming and giving this good news. But see the other people, verse 5.
But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
These are the people were in the church, kept silent up to now, didn't say anything to Peter, didn't say anything to James, didn't say anything to other apostles, but they sent some people secretly to go to the Antioch and mess up that church, and then everything will be all right. Now we come to know who was behind this. They said there are certain people who are Pharisees. They came from the Pharisees. They got saved, born again, became believers, but they do not want to leave the Mosaic law. You understand? They wanted to do what the Moses saying. Why they became a Christian? They became Christian, they became a believer, but they want how to old tradition. What the Moses saying, do the circumcision. Without circumcision, there is no salvation. And that kind of teaching, some of the people still doing. So what happened? There was a great trouble in the church. But see, God always gives grace for the truth. Because they thought they are preaching the truth, but that was not true. You cannot circumcise the believers to make them Christian. Then Christianity will not be by grace, it will be by work, right? Christianity is by faith. We live by faith, we walk by faith, and we believe the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus Christ is the only one saves us plus nothing. We do not need anything else but the grace of God. But these people start mixing grace and work together and start causing problem in the church. See what happened. Let's read verse 6.
And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe.
Okay, now, when these people came here, Paul and Barnabas, and they had a conference, or maybe meeting, to find out what's going on. So when they came together, these Pharisees, they stirred up some more people to fight with Peter and James and Barnabas and even Paul. And they had a lot of problems now, so that Peter could not keep quiet. He stood there. And he said, people, let me tell you what God has done. You remember, we learned when Cornelius' family wanted to be saved and God gave vision to Cornelius, and Cornelius called Peter. You remember that time I said to you, Paul was almost in Caesarea. Philip was there in Caesarea. And this man is going from Caesarea to call Peter. I said, why he did not call Paul at that time? Why this Cornelius didn't call Philip at that time? Why Peter? Peter was the leader. Peter was the leader for the church. That's why some people say Peter is the first pope. So God sent Peter to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was Gentiles. So what God was trying to do, establish through Peter that Gentiles coming to the Lord. And how Peter came to know? We read it in Acts chapter 10. We read it in Acts chapter 11. We are not going back. If you want, go back and study. Peter started preaching. And while Peter was preaching, Cornelius' family and all these guests came, those people filled with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues. And when Peter went to Jerusalem and they start saying, why you baptize Gentiles? Then he said, God filled them with the Holy Spirit. How can I stop what God is doing? So this was the beginning. So now Peter stood there and started saying, do you know what God did in early days? Means when the church was just start growing. And he says, how God used Peter to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. So he is trying to say, God started with me. Even though God called Paul and say, I am going to make you the minister for the Gentiles. But still Paul was working through the Jewish people. Everywhere Paul went, he went to synagogue. He did not go to Gentiles directly, just like Peter went. So now Paul and Barnabas had the problem. They could not handle why these people bringing this accusation. So they went to the church. They went there and the Peter stood there and started giving them preaching. People listen. God has saved the Gentiles and why we should be opposing. Let's read the verse 8.
And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?
What is trying to say? Listen, people. God gave them the Holy Spirit. Purify them by the Holy Spirit. Cleansed by the Holy Spirit. By faith they came to Jesus Christ. They were washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are all born again Christians. Why we put the yoke of bondage on them? As a heavy load on them. Our forefathers were not able to bear that load. Jesus Christ came and says, Matthew chapter 11, he says, O heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he said, I am taking that heavy yoke from you, all the burden from you, and I am giving you my easy burden or the easy weight that you don't have to worry about. So Jesus Christ gave us salvation without any payment. The Word of God says, salvation is free, it's a gift of God, and nobody has to boast. So he's saying, God has given us this, why we are tempting God, why we are putting God to test, why are we doing this, we cannot bear this burden, why are we putting on these Gentiles? Verse 11.
But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. And all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them.
Right. Now when the Peter gave the message, said, these people got saved by faith, why are we putting the burden on them? They liked the idea. They kept quiet. And they might have given Paul and Barnabas again chance to say what you want to say. And they start testifying what God did signs and wonders and miracles among the Gentiles. Why they didn't say signs and wonders happen in the Jewish people? Same thing happens. You go to Africa, you go to India, you go to other countries, more miracle happens. Why they do not happen more miracles in America? Why is that? Because some of the people gave the teaching to the people, I'm talking about Christian people, gave the teaching to the Christian people, sickness and disease comes from God. And you know, when God gives us, we should be humble enough. We should say, thank you, Lord. Maybe God is teaching us something and things like that. Or some people have a lot of hospitals in America, a lot of medicine and insurance policies and everything. Go to foreign countries. They don't have insurance policy. They don't have doctors. So when you tell them Jesus is the answer, they believe it. And they get the miracle faster than Americans or the people who are Christians. So that's why they said, when we went to Gentiles, signs and wonders and miracles happen among the Gentiles. And so, when they preached, and people start thinking, hey, this might be the truth. Let's read verse 13.
And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things.
Amen. Now see how God does the miracle. As I told you many times, in the Old Testament was not written like we have the books. They were written in the scroll, and they have to roll it up. No chapters, no verses were written. But somehow God gave James the Old Testament verses in his mind. And he starts saying, it is written in the Word of God what God is going to do in the last days. Let's go to the book of Amos, chapter 9, verses 11 and 12.
In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this.
Amen. See, Edom and all the Gentiles, you know what Edom is? These Muslim people. Muslim people will come to the Lord, Gentiles will come to the Lord, and this is happening today. Go to the foreign land. How many Muslims coming to Jesus Christ? And how many Hindus are coming to Jesus Christ? Yesterday I was talking to one sister. She said, my pastor went to India. And he said he was so timid. He was so afraid of traveling. But when he came back from India, you can see his face is glowing, because he saw what God is doing in India. What I'm trying to say, many Hindus, many Muslims coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this prophecy is fulfilling. And so James stood there and started saying, don't you know it is written in the Word of God what God is going to do in the last days? Muslims and Hindus and Gentiles will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he starts saying, Peter already told you what happened in earlier, how many Gentiles came. And this is not the what Peter is doing wrong, or what the Barnabas is doing wrong, what the Paul is doing wrong. This is the prophecy they are fulfilling. And that's what this is happening. And the Word of God says God gives chance to the Gentiles and the other people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is God's doing. Many people do not like to go and reach out. They just want to reach out to their own people. Blacks want to go to black churches. White wants to go to white churches. Indian wants to go to Indian churches. Spanish wants to give Spanish churches. That is good. But at the same time, we should be open to the gospel. We should be going and bringing everyone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because we are all born by the same blood.
Amen.
And every black, white, yellow, or any nationality, they have the same color of the blood,
amen.
Red. So we are all bought with the same blood, so we should have that kind of compassion and love towards others. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 17.
But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord.
Okay, who are they? He said the gospel goes to Gentiles. Hindus or Muslims or Buddhist nations or anybody do not believe in God. God is gracious. He sends the word around the world. He gives the chances to everyone to believe. But if they make their heart stubborn, if they don't want to listen what he says, he will destroy complete nations. If they don't listen, God takes revenge. So here, James is standing and saying, people, listen to the word of God. This is the word of God. This is the prophecy's fulfilling. Have mercy on people who comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If a person comes to the Lord, I don't care. He's Muslim, he's Hindu, he's Buddhist, or whoever it is. He's my brother in the Lord. I do not look at them as a strangers. I go to any country, and when the people believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I believe them, they are believers in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read the following verse. 18.
Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world.
Go ahead.
Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, the word should be proclaimed to the whole world. And this is the prophecy's fulfilling. So he says, my sentence. See what he's trying to say. Just like he's a judge. And he's saying, this is why I declare. This is what my desire is. We should not be troubling Gentiles coming to God. And I am not happy what is happening in Antioch. And he's trying to say, we did not even send these people there. Please read further.
But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment.
Right. He says, we did not command them to go and do this trouble there. These people, their own, they came to Antioch to trouble you. But now we are going to make it so easy. He says, all the Mosaic law, when you read in the book of law, they are saying, what their simple thing is saying, do not do sacrifice to idol, do not do fornication, stay away from this sinful activity. And in every synagogue, we are reading this book still today, he's trying to say. So we are going to make it so easy for the unbelievers or the Gentiles. You don't have to circumcise. You do only things. Stay away from the fornication. Stay away from the blood sacrifice. Stay away from the strangling. Stay away from the evil things. And just believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And they thought that's good. So let's say we are going to write this letter to Gentiles, Antioch. And then they said, this is what you should be doing. Okay, let's read the verse 25 onwards.
It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, now I am sending not only Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas and Paul came there to complain that some people came from Jerusalem causing problem in Antioch, what we supposed to do. And now Peter and James, they are leading apostles. They stood there and gave the messages and gave the verdict, what we supposed to do. Now they're saying, Barnabas and Paul, you go back. And now they thought, if Barnabas and Paul went back, those troublemakers still going to trouble them. So he said, now we are going to send another people with you. And what people they're saying? They send Judas and they said Silas. And Silas and Judas, they were prophet also. So when they send these people and they said, what these people are? They said, if you read the verse 26, this man gave their life for Jesus Christ, put their life in danger. They were working hard for Christ. These are not the ordinary people we are sending to you. They are saying, these people, what people he's talking about? Paul, Barnabas, and Silas, and Judas. These are not ordinary people. These people gave their life for Jesus Christ. You know, serving and being a pastor sounds so easy. It's not easy just getting ordination and be a pastor. You have to send your blood. You have to shed your tears. You have to shed your sweat. You have to give your life for the gospel's sake. It's not easy. Let's read this verse 26.
Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus
Christ. Hazard their lives. What does it mean? When you say hazard is what? Dangerous things. The life they gave. The trouble they had. Went through all kinds of problems. These are the tough people who are proven to be good. Who are proven to be real ministers. They are proven to be gospel preachers. Not when the trouble comes, you run away. When your trouble comes, you go through the trials and tribulations. And you become like what? White as a snow. So, let's read verse 28.
For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. That you abstain from meats offered to idols.
Now, this is the letter he's trying to tell these people. The James wrote a letter and the Peter and all of these people wrote the letter. Now, these people, Paul, Barnabas, Silas and Judas came, and now they are reading the letter, gave it to the church. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's start reading from 29.
They abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which, when they had read, rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, the prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them.
These people start rejoicing. Who are these people? The church in Antioch. They knew that having circumcision and observing the Mosaic law is not a Christianity. This is not the grace of God. This is not the will of God. So now Paul and Barnabas comes with the Silas and Judas and then read the letter. And when they read the letter, people start rejoicing. Thank God that Peter understands. Thank God that James understands. And they said, you don't have to be circumcised. Just believe and just do not do adultery, fornication, and don't do blood sacrifices, and just live pure and holy life. And you will be fine. Okay. Let's read verse 33.
And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still.
Okay, now what happened? They got the letter. They read the letter. They got a peace in the church. Those troublemakers left. And then said, let's go back to Jerusalem. So all these other people left. But the Silas says, I want to stay. He wanted to stay in Antioch for a while. And that is the plan of God. See, why other people, you know, even the other people came and they left. And Silas says, I'm going to stay here for a while. Means he got the vision. He got the vision that Paul and Barnabas and those people are doing great things. And I want to be part of this ministry. So he stayed. See what happens further. Verse 35.
Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also.
Okay, now Paul and Barnabas stayed there, giving Bible study in Antioch and staying there of longer time. They're supposed to be going and traveling back and forth. But now they said, now we are going to settle here for a while. Let the churches trouble now. This is not the time to run away. This is the time to strengthen the church members. So he start staying there for a while. And after that, he said, now we stayed enough. Church is quiet. Church is doing okay. Let's go on a tour again. And now see, here's the problem again. Let's read verse 36.
And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord.
Okay.
See how they do.
Now Paul got an idea. He said, Barnabas, you are my partner. We travel along everywhere. We saw the trials and tribulations and problems. But now we are going to go back again to the same places we went. Why he's going same places? They were beaten. They were thrown out of the cities. And people do not want to hear them. But he says there are some Christians out there. I'm not going to abandon those Christians who came after us, who believed us, and who are living with us. We are going to go back and visit them. It's a good idea. Barnabas liked the idea, but Barnabas has a friend. Do you know who that friend was? Mark John. You will be reading later. But when they were in the journey, Mark John left Paul and Barnabas in a place and ran away to Jerusalem. Paul was a little bit mad. He thought, this young man started the ministry and backslidden or went back. I'm not going to have him anymore in the ministry anymore. But see what happens. Let's read verse 37.
And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus.
Okay, now see what happened here. Barnabas and Paul, their friend. Mark left them. Now Mark comes back. Barnabas says, Paul, if you want me to go in a journey with you, let's take a John Mark again. Paul says, no way. Because he gave us a hard time before and we don't want him coming back. If you want to come with me, come. Otherwise, you go your way, I'll go my way. But sometimes we say Paul was wrong doing this because if somebody has a change of heart, you should forgive him. We cannot say if somebody left the church and come back, we kick them out. No. There are people go and come back. We should say, okay, if you come back, come home. So here, Paul and Barnabas start arguing. You remember one time, church did not like Paul, and they told Paul, we do not believe. Barnabas, the only one, took the Paul back to the church and said, do you know this man has a vision, and he's a good man, and take him? And then they took him. And again, Paul went to Tarsus. Barnabas, the one who was seeking for Paul, and came, took him and brought him back to Antioch. So the Barnabas is the, what do you call, loving and kind person. The Paul is a little bit strong-minded, but his mind to do the Lord's work. He do not want any hindrance in the ministry. So both people seems okay. One person is kinder, one person is strong, and his mind is set to the do the Lord's work and no other business. Paul is saying, if you're starting the ministry, you cannot leave somebody in the hot water when the trouble came and you run away. I don't want that kind of person with me. Let's read a little further.
And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches.
Okay, now see what happens here. Paul and Silas become a one team. Barnabas and Mark become another team. If you read the book of Acts, whole book, you will never read what Barnabas and what Mark did. But when you read about Paul and Silas, you read they did a great thing. Now here it says, verse 40, even though they had a disagreement, the grace of God and the believer agreed with Paul. Read the verse 40.
And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God.
What the brethren start saying, Lord, we know Paul. Even though he doesn't want to take Barnabas this time, be with him, Lord. Use him, God. Let your mercy be on Paul. And when you see next week, God willing, when you read the chapter 16, you know what problem happened to Paul and Silas. They were putting in a prison. Now just picture the Mark, John, little boy, putting in the prison with a Paul and Silas. He would be thinking, why did I come? I did not want to come and work with Paul. Now they're in jail. And next chapter we'll be reading. They went there rejoicing. And Barnabas and Mark went a separate journey. But from 16th chapter to 28th chapter, you do not read anything about John and Mark, John Mark or Barnabas, what they did. So what happened? Later on, you will read in another books about Mark, Paul saying, I need Mark, John, he's a good boy, he's my helper, please send him to help me. So, later on, Mark learned his lesson and tried to help Paul in his ministry. He was not bitter with Paul, Paul was not bitter with John, because he understood, if Paul was bitter with John or Mark, they will be not getting together again. But the Mark learned his lesson, when the man of God doing the Lord's work, I should be supporting him, I should be helping him. And Barnabas also maybe learned the lesson, he should not be fighting with Paul, because miracle happened through Paul much more than the Barnabas and John. Even though they separated, you do not see what Mark did miracles or Barnabas did miracles. Only miracles we see, Paul and Silas, they were doing it. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling.
Yes, Lord.
And no turning back. Trials and tribulation would come. We are not going to look left or right. We are going to look into Jesus Christ and follow the Lord. And Father, I believe that you have started a good work and you are going to finish it. Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming for his bride. He's coming for his church. Lord Jesus, let us be ready, doing good things, doing your will, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.